Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We come to you each and every week with guests that's making a difference in the kingdom. As you log on to the program, you'll hear a template, and you'll see a template that says, help change your life. And we pray that what you're doing in the ministry is doing to the glory of God, that you too is help changing life by being involved in programs and ministry that's making a difference in the lives of the young men and women. You know, I'm very heavily involved in street ministry, jail and prison ministry. And so what I attempt to do is to bring ministries to the forefront that's making a difference to our brothers and sisters that are re-entering society. And so they too don't have to fall to the plight of doing the same thing all the time, expecting a different result. You know, to me, that's called insanity. When you're doing the same thing every day, expecting a different result. So we would like to just encourage our men and women and encourage our listening audience to be involved in programs to make a difference in the lives of someone. You know, you don't have to look too far. There's programs all around you. Plus, you could also develop a program, but you have to be involved in something there, because guess what? You didn't get here overnight. You didn't get here by yourself. Someone helped you along the way. And I am very honored and pleased to have a guest on the program this morning, Eric. Eric is no stranger to this program. He's been on here several times, and he's a great guest. And he's always have a lot of information that's concerning God's people. And not only information, but we also have implementation. How do you go about applying what you heard? And I love Eric for that, though, because Eric is, he's a go-getter. He knows how to be able to apply the desired information that he's sharing with us, and he's encouraging you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Joel. Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, man, it's great to have you be a guest. And as we talk about financial literacy, just give us a slight introduction yourself so people can know that you know what you're talking about, man, because we had a great conversation earlier this week, and we're going to extend that to with a broader audience.
Well, it's my background, as you know, Joel, is I have a degree in from Notre Dame University in economics. I also have an MBA. And I've been involved in the financial literacy teaching at James Madison High School and taught at Lincoln High School as a volunteer for financial literacy, helping young people understand what they need to do with $10 an hour or whatever dollars an hour that they have, how to budget and how to live off of what God has given them. We also take time to express that we have a ministry called Our God is Alive, and in that ministry, We teach financial literacy inside the prisons. Right now, David Vaughn is teaching financial literacy down in the LeBlanc unit, and I'm teaching it at Hutchinson. And we're soon to hopefully start teaching financial literacy at the Border Part of Parole in Cadiz in Dallas. So, we do have a background in financial literacy. We understand it, but it's more important how we look at it is that it's not a class, but it's an opportunity for people to change their lifestyle and be able to function within the system. We've gone about teaching businesses as entrepreneurs financial literacy. I taught in colleges, Amberton University, University of Phoenix, Dallas Christian College, just to name a few of the different places that we've taught financial literacy or business ethics or business accounting, economics, and so forth. So I guess that's about all I want to really talk about on myself. I'd like to really talk more about what we're trying to accomplish and why we're trying to accomplish what we're working on. That's how it is, you, Joe. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, the first thing is that what we're looking at is that each and every man that comes out of the system, well, we are always working within the system. We are very interested in most people, ministries, and nothing to be against them. Most ministries are looking at, okay, here's the guy, he's coming, he's in prison. What do we do while he's in prison? What do we do to help him while he's in prison? And that's important. You know, we have financial literacy classes, and we do Bible studies within the prison. But the biggest issue, and most people realize, is reintegration. So what do we need to do on this coming outside? You know, so we have all these programs for people. But one of the things I wanted to speak on initially is that at the Board of Pardon and Parole, Chaplain Gardner in Dallas, Texas, has very few volunteers whatsoever because no one knows that we need volunteers on the other side. Or it seems like most of the ministries, they work on the inside. Everybody's working to get into the prison, but when a person gets outside, there's very limited program for that individual. I'm challenging, and I'm glad we have this opportunity, the churches to become involved in the financial literacy and the financial program and programs for people that are trying to reintegrate in the system. You know, Chaplain Gardner at the Board of Pardon and Parole has a list, which most people are not made aware of transitional housing, has a list of the jobs that are available, has a list of homes that are available, or people that are willing to rent to ex-felons. And I don't like that. He calls them clients, and that's what I began to call. So
I like that.
We don't have X's on our backs. You know, we don't walk around with the X. We don't walk around the felon on our back or on our forehead. But yet we label ourselves. And when you label yourself something, you become what you're labeled. And that's a known fact. So what we're trying to do is let people understand, I'm not an ex-felon. I've served time. I'm not an ex-banker. I can be, but I don't have banker on my back. I'm not an ex-Notre Dame graduate. I'm alumni. We use a different term, don't we? Okay, but it's not on my forehead. So we don't have to worry, and people need to stop labeling themselves in a negative connotation and start looking at the positive side of who they are and what they do. And so when we talk about financial literacy, going to that point, we want to start helping people on the outside. How do we do that? Okay, yeah, we have ministries that feed people, but if I feed you, you don't know how to get the food yourself. If I give you a shelter, you don't know how to get a place to live yourself. And my job is what we believe in, our God is alive, is that becomes a process that we need to become involved in. How do you do that? Well, first of all, if you do have a job, and if you don't have a job, you need to know how to budget and manage your income, the finances.
You're so
that
true,
you do
Eric. That is so true. Because, you know, I deal with young men that are reentering and that's being placed on jobs and trying to get themselves back. They don't know how to manage their money. And it hurts me, and it behooves me, man, to see, you know, people working and not able to manage their money. They go out and they buy the things that they desire, not the things that they need, and then they want to know, why am I liking? So I thank you, man, that's powerful for what you serve.
Well, we teach them in that program. We try to teach people it's not about what you want. It's about what you need. And we also know that in the ministry, God said he'll take care of all your needs. So we have to begin to understand that since God says he'll take care of all your needs, we have to understand what we don't need. We have to start asking God for what we need and stop dealing with what we want. How do you do it? You work with people and start saying, listen, here's what you have as an income. How do you work on your budget, and how do you succeed working on your budget? You know, we talk about people reintegration into society, but the amazing thing, when we talk about people reintegrating into society, what about these people that are already in society that don't understand how to budget their own money? They don't understand how to make ends meet themselves. It's because we all look at what we want and not what we need. And so what we have to do is be able to get a comprehensive program, not just to the people that are being reintegrated into society, but a comprehensive program that are people that are already in society. Because you're influenced by the people that you deal with, you're influenced by the people that you go back and live with, and so the society itself as a whole is influencing people to buy what they want and not what they need. I'm sitting with my wife last night, and we were talking about advertising, Joel, and one of the things of it is all the advertising creates a covetousness mentality that makes people want to buy stuff that they don't need, want to buy stuff so they can act like they're someone else, so that they can feel in a different manner. And because that society has created that, those who have been incarcerated need to understand that they don't want to live within that type of situation. But also the people that they're around, the people that we in our society, people even listening today, many of us understand what our financial situation is and why we got there. We don't realize what we need to do to get out of that kind of a burden. And so what we're doing with our financial literacy is creating a new understanding of, for people that have been incarcerated, people that are reintegrated into the system, and teaching them how to not fall into that trap. And that's the most important thing to do. You know,
we're going to take a break here for a minute. I just saw a minute here to just give out a call-in number here, and we got a couple of callers on the line. I want you to hold that thought there because you shared a lot of information, man, and I want people to be able to, you know, to chime in on what you had said there because I think it makes a difference. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. You, too, can call in to the program and give your thoughts and comments and ask Eric some questions on how to be involved in this financial literacy courses and classes that he's putting together. And not only putting together, but he's implementing them too so that can work. But we have a call on the line. We have several calls on the line, but we're going to tap in on this young man here. And this is David. He's out of Houston, and he's part of what Eric is doing. So we're going to bring him right in, and he's going to share a few words. And then the other caller that's on the line, we're going to just bear with us, and we're going to open the lines up for your thoughts and comments regarding our topic for this morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Fine.
Thank you for calling in. This is quite a surprise, brother. Well, you know, I just was tapping in on what we discussed Monday about our financial literacy courses. And I'm glad you were able to call in to share with us some things that are weighing heavy on your heart regarding our brothers and sisters that are reentering society.
Well, I'm excited about the opportunity to work with Eric and talk about financial literacy to guys and ladies coming home. It appears that it's a changing of the consciousness. And I was in class on Wednesday night, and to show you how God works, after being in class for about an hour and a half, one of the guys raised his hand and he says, "I just thought that you was going to help me start to learn how to turn more tricks and get more dope, but I see you in here trying to change our minds and start talking about our value system and talking about being a better believer and then becoming a steward." And he said, I didn't think anything like that. And it was so interesting because one of the comments that I made right off the rip was, we are familiar with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but there's another category, which is No Dad. So can you imagine the conversation that the rich dad had with his child? Can you imagine the conversation that the poor dad has with his child? But then there is no conversation for the No Dad.
That's so true.
And sadly, Eric and I see that on a regular basis, whereby we're in trying to now, you know, change the people's consciousness. Before we can begin to talk about how to count it, we have to start trying to establish what is your value system once you get it in your, before you get it in your hand. You know, what do you think about? What is the most important thing in your life? I mean, who are your goals most important? Is your family most important? Is God most important? I dealt like 30 minutes with, you know, take off your mask, don't lie to me, tell me where we're going. And then one of the tricks that I learned from Eric was, and I said this point blank, I said, if you're sitting in this classroom and you're thinking about how to dodge paying your child support, you need to get up and walk out of this room right now because I can't help you.
Oh, that's so true. Hey, now David, now, before we go too far, now tell us now, what classes were you at and how often do you do your classes? So I'll just say, wait a minute, I didn't think about financial literacy at this stage, at this level. Tell us about your class and where you teach at.
Yes, sir. I'm teaching at the LeBlanc unit, Richard P. LeBlanc unit in Beaumont, Texas. Most of the gentlemen that I preach to are going to teach to are going to be going home in the next 6 months. And so we're teaching National High School Finance, NEFI program is what we're using. And we have Nephi. Four courses. What's that, Eric?
That's correct. It's Nephi. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. And so the first one, we have four books, and I try to do 2 weeks on each book. Eric has provided me with the books as well as worksheets. So what I do normally, typically on week one, is we'll do an intro and then we'll talk about book one, and then I'll send them home with book one and then the first set of sheets that I need them to do, and then we'll come back in and we'll talk about it. It's really interesting because you quickly find out who's serious and who's not serious. Because the guy comes back to class and his work is not done, you got an understanding there. A guy comes back to class and his work is done, you've got an understanding there. Now the whole thing is, you know, just begin to, and I told them, this is not magic and this is not new. This is just, we are just trying to wake up some things that are already in you that may have been dormant, or even give you some skills that you might begin to practice on your way home. And you need to start thinking about these things. So that's where we're currently working at the LeBlanc unit, and we've been in talks with our chaplain, and then as well we've been talking to the people at the parole board. So I'm on a couple of teams, and we're now starting to make known what it is we're doing and how it is we're trying to assist people that are reintegrating. I mean, it's really, if I may, Joel, step out into this box right here, it's really a call of God's people to do something greater than go to our regular worship service. I was in a forum. I attended a forum rather on Thursday morning. Lamar University actually had a reintegration forum, and it was sad to hear that after being there, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 hours, that the long and short of it is we just house them. We're not really trying to recorrect them.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's so sad.
And it's gonna, and really, it's up to the church. If anybody is sitting out here listening, talking about, man, I need a ministry, I need to get involved in something, well, I got a couple of suggestions for you. There's a place where they got a group of guys and women sitting around wishing somebody would come visit them and help them become better.
That is so true.
Just call in, and Eric and I or Joel will help you, direct you to a place local and see if we can get you signed up to go in, and you can help us teach this financial literacy, because it is so needed. One of the things, the group that Eric and I are in, I mean, it doesn't just stop with financial literacy. It goes to parenting. It goes to making peace with your past. It goes to being a disciple. I mean, we've got to learn how to become good. We've got to be great at whatever it is we are. Be a great steward of that. Be a great learner of that. Know what it is you think you know. I was just arguing with my brother, but I was just pressing some things with the education system of the church so far. I mean, it's really interesting, Joel. A man or woman can sign up and take college classes to learn how to read and proclaim God's word, yet never go to class to learn how to live God's word.
Oh, that's so true. You know, I do my I do a mentoring class down at Dallas Life, one of the shelters down here in Dallas, Texas, one of the largest shelters, and I do a course called How to Manage Your Discomfort, and I wrap it around the Word of God, because we realize that life brings about a certain amount of discomfort, and a lot of our young men, they find themselves falling back into that that negative behavior and that criminal lifestyle because they're not able to manage themselves. And how much so can you also use that to manage your finances, to manage your relationships? You know, it's more than just managing yourself. There's a lot of things that's embedded in that there. And so I like the way you and Eric is handling it and what y'all are presenting. And not only presenting, but also being able to apply it, man, because it definitely needed. David and Eric, why don't you just hold on a minute? We got another call on the line. We're going to bring them in and let them give some thoughts regarding what we're just sharing.
Okay.
Good morning, Mike. You're on the net. Good morning, Mike. Hey, man, I guess Mike just wanted to listen in this morning, so that's okay. What we'll do is just bring everybody else in. Now, Eric, as we were sharing a while ago, now, y'all want you to just continue to follow up on what we were just talking about and just take it a little step further there. What else, other things are you implementing at financial literacy classes?
Well, one of the things we're working with is teaching people how to be stewards also. You know, what we do is we look at the biblical concept and say stewardship. David had alluded to the word steward before. I was telling someone the other day in one of the classes that one of the greatest stewards that we know is Joseph. And not only was Joseph given the opportunity to be a steward at Potiphar's house, obviously, but he was able to, once he was able to attain and do the things he was supposed to do, God gave him something greater, which was to be a steward over all of Egypt. And he didn't want the stewardship. He wasn't trying to get what he wanted. He was given that because he was needed to help the people of Egypt and the Pharaoh to continue to live in the lifestyle that they wanted and the lifestyle they needed. What we have to do is start beginning to teach our people how to live their lives within their means. And I mean this with all sincerity. We always discuss what's going on with the people in the prison, okay? But it's the society we have to help change so that they, when they get out with the understanding and the knowledge that they have, that they will be able to function within the society. The society right now is completely dysfunctional. Most of the, and I'm just going to say in this regard, most churches are about prosperity and raising money. They're not about living within what they have and being able to understand how to function so they can be prosperous within what they have. And so what we're trying to get people to understand is that financial understanding, financial literacy, we use a national high school program. They have a college program, and we'll eventually start teaching them the college program. And then from the college program, we intend on working with them constantly. It's not just to stop now, but to be available so that they can get other people to help so that when they have financial issues, questions, or concerns, that we ought to be able to help them. Understand how to do your own taxes without going and spending $400 to the IRS. What do they call it? H&R Block and all the other people so that they can get their money back right away and spend it right away instead of looking at 10% going to God and $25 a week minimum out of your paycheck going to yourself for savings. You know, my son, who is studying to be a preacher, has said to me the other day, you know, Dad, the funny thing, when I ask the question is when people, what do you love most? Some people will tell you about their mother, their father. Some people will tell you about God, too. But their love of themselves is so far down, even though it should be right there, right after I love God, I love myself, because it says to learn to love thy neighbor as you love thyself. How can I learn to love my neighbor as myself if I don't love myself? And some of the guys that he's talked to, they put him at 5. You know, he said, where do you level yourself from 1 to 10 as far as love of yourself? They put it at 5. You know, they put it at 6. You know, the thing God, most of them know to love God first, but, you know, it becomes an issue of how do you learn to do that? Well, you have to understand that you're not lost, you're not trash because you don't make $1 million a year. One of the things we try to discuss in the financial literacy class is let people know, I use the old adage of Michael Jordan, new kids you have to say LeBron James. You know, if I make as much money as LeBron James, am I rich? Yeah, man, you got to be rich. But the truth of the matter is that money is not what makes him rich. His ability to maintain those finances and manage those finances and to understand what his value is a lot more important. You know, value versus worth are two different things. You know, Jerome Bettis years ago, when he was playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he realized that he had the ability to go to another team and make a lot more money. Okay, but what happened was he decided to stay when they were going to lower his income, and he said, "Well, I'm only worth so much to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but my value is far greater." He ended up with his only championship ring, but also he was able to enhance his ability to make more money because he was out. The people loved him in Pittsburgh versus wherever else he might have gone. So we have to start teaching those kind of concepts to people. You know, why are you working at this particular job? Are you satisfied with what you're doing? Understand the budgeting system that you're in. You know, if you have $10 an hour, what we get, guys, you make $100 a month. That's, you know, of course, you're going to make more than that. How do you separate that money when you're talking about this is all you have? Because when you don't teach people that, as Dave was saying, your concept, your way of thinking changes. Man, I only have $100 a month, and I need to go. I could sell some dope, and I can make a lot more money. Yeah, you could. You probably could. You know, you probably could do what is illegal with low level integrity and not and function right back where you came from. Or
yeah.
you can start
yeah.
doing what you need to do and be successful. So that's kind of what.
Hey,
you know.
Yeah, that's so true. Hey, Eric, I tell you what, we're going to bring David in right quick. David is on. David's here in town doing a social event here with his family. So we're going to let him have the last words, and then we're going to get back with him. I'm looking forward to meeting him today, and we just sit down and just talk. So, Dave.
Yes, sir.
David. Yeah, but thank you, man. Yes, I'm not going to take up all your time. I'd just like you to just have a few words or comments regarding what's going on, and then we're going to bring you on at a later date, but we want you to go ahead and take care of the business and which brought you to town.
Well, it's a family event. My daughter's actually playing volleyball, and they just happen to be here in Dallas this weekend, and it's a major event. There's tons of college coaches walking around, and they're in there, I guess, looking recruiting, and so we're here. But I'm more excited about being here that I might be able to meet you and Eric, and then sit down and talk to you guys about where it is I feel that God is leading us in terms of being able to enhance our prison ministry, as well as get our guys partnered with you and your street ministry, letting them be able to get the resources that they need, and then being able to even talk about how it is. God is leading us to participate in this in the kingdom building process of being able to help these guys and track them when they're home. So I'm excited about it. You know, and I know people are saying, well, that sounds good. You guys are trying to work on giving them financial literacy, but where are you leading them to? So let me answer that question. Eric and I have been tossing around a few things. When you have to think outside the box, you literally have to think outside the box. And what I mean by that is not only are we starting to talk about financial literacy, but we're also thinking about and we're talking about trying to also get guys technical training or ladies technical training that they might be able to go into green jobs, that we might be able to talk about energy efficiency, light bulbs, and even proper ventilation systems. And then in some course of our conversation, we've even been talking about maybe using portions of multi-level marketing just so women and men can start to think about how it is successful businesses have been put together and how it is they can do something different with their life. Somebody asked me, well, David, why would you use a multi-level marketing plan? I said, well, if I go to a Fortune 500 company, they're probably not going to lend me much of their training staff to come in and sit down and talk to these guys. But with this plan, the multi-level marketing plan, I don't have to ask them to sell products. All I have to do is get them to listen to the concept. And if they have the entrepreneurial spirit, then they have the concept and the training to go out and start doing something and be productive. My number one thing at this point, and this is something that Eric helped me realize, you know, we're talking about financial literacy, and we're wanting them to start working on the outside. Well, you know, they have to deal with financial literacy as they try to figure out how they balance and what they do at commissary. Quick testimony. Guy in class says, Pastor Vaughn, I do something different with my 10%, and that was when I had all the things that I needed, I took and gave one of the guys in the dorm something that he didn't have. And the other guys in the dorm saw that I did that, and they couldn't understand why I was doing it. But I told them it was my tithe, or it was just being a blessing to somebody else. And then from what he did, two other people did the same thing in the dorm. Now, I almost start crying right then and there, Joel, because if there's ever a time that financial literacy takes hold, it's if the men or women start doing it in the place where they are right now.
Right.
Amen. That's so true. That is so true. It's taking root right there.
And so we want to begin to start changing, again, as Eric said, the people's conscious, and then even start to change our own consciousness. I liken this work to that of Joshua and Caleb. And so I'm not sure which one is Eric and which one is David, but we'll iron that out later. But it's as if we're helping the group that's leaving slavery going to the promised land to start changing their mind. And it's so interesting, Joel, is we have to quit. We have to try to make people realize that they no longer have to make bricks, that the Lord has provided a way for us, and we have to be stewards of that which he's given us. And as God told Moses, son, I need you to just use what's in your hand. And once we start letting people know that God has already equipped us with certain tools, and to put value to those tools and love those tools and use them for kingdom building process, there's going to be a major change. There is a major change coming. I think the song says there is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and
it's
to
so
break
true.
To break every chain. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're doing it through financial literacy. We're doing it through parenting. We're doing it through making peace with your past and discipleship. We're just trying to break chains and set people free.
Oh, you know, David, as you were sharing that, man, I was getting a sense of an awakening, you know, of a society and awaken this out of being in bondage, you know, that financial, you know, being financially enabled causes a sense of being in bondage, you know, and how you are giving people the keys to open up the doors to that, to freedom. And, you know, man, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. And I want to thank you and Dave and what y'all are doing, how you're putting together a program and putting together a group of people that are able to apply what you're doing. Not only that you're putting it together, as I stated earlier, you actually are applying it. And that's what I love about ministry, man. It's easy to talk about ministry. Oh, I want to do this. I wish I'd do it. But when you implement this, man, and it's working, man, that's God, man. That's God to give us the ability to do these things. And guess what? We're not only doing it for the people right now, but for the future, man, because these people, once they're applying what they're learning at this stage of life, they're able to implement it in another stage of life and able to help someone else.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly. I've had guys
that have gone home that have called already and said, thank you, how can I get involved? And I'm just telling them what we need to do is we got to wait a few days, but I'm going to get them some literature and God bless you. And then just see how, and see how we can use them where they are. In fact, I've got a guy in San Antonio that went home and a guy in Austin that went home. And we probably talk two or three times a week. And it's just interesting to see how this thing is just going to balloon based on the way that God is allowing us to just allow people to move and learn how this thing works. Excuse me, guys. All right, it's on you, Eric.
Well, one of the good things, Joel, is that...
Eric, before you go any further, I got a call online. We're going to bring them in right quick because I know this is a great conversation here, right. And I want to get as many people in as possible.
No,
good morning, caller. You're on the net. Good morning, caller. Mike, are you on the net? Good morning. All right, then the caller just wants to hold on here. I know the number here, and now he's not ready to say anything. Okay, Eric, go right ahead here, brother. We are halfway in our program here, but yeah, we have so much more to discuss.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I keep emphasizing is that we need more people to teach financial literacy. We have the ability to train. We have the books. We can teach them online. But I think people, when they hear financial literacy, I've had to explain that to each person in some of the churches that I've talked to. Well, we have a Christian economics class. We're not trying to teach just about the financial side of it. We're trying to teach people how to think. Look at society and say, I don't have to have. I had a young man that works with me the other day. His name is Ted Bundrick, and he asked me, why do we have a tendency to always, what we call, front, so that we can act like we have more than we have? Or he was concerned about the expenditures that his son was having for the birthday party that they were spending. They were spending a lot of money, $200 on the cake and so forth and so on. He said, and that's, why do we do that? And I said, it's the mindset. It's the mentality. It's almost like a slave mentality that we have to be better than the other guy around us. We can't be satisfied with who we are because we still think less of who we are. And so we go out and front, basically, to have certain things. We go out and deal with certain things that we shouldn't have to buy.
You know, it's almost like when people preach prosperity, 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 prosperity. You have more things, you have more money, you have more this, more that. And God's prosperity is prosperous in God, in His love, in His acceptance of us. Yes, He does want us to have more, because what we have, we should be able to give away more. But it's not about our wants for a big car, fancy house, and so forth. And so what we're trying to do by teaching financial understanding, financial literacy, is to understand how it really works, what it's all about, you know, with the concept of, hey, here's what God gives you. God, Paul says we should be what? Content in all things, right? But we've learned not to be content. We've been taught, even in the ministry, not to be content, because we need to have more. We got to have more money, more car, more house. This way people believe that we really, God is blessing us. No, we know God is blessing us by how we carry ourselves and what we do. So we're teaching the financial literacy on the inside and the outside so that people can understand who they are and feel more comfortable with what they have and how to do what they need to do. One of my friends, Mike Clark, teach financial literacy, we're training him, and he talked about the talents that we have. And one of the things when you talk about the talents that we have is that we should look at what God has given us and be thankful for what He has given us. The man who had 10 talents went out and made 10 talents more, but he went out and made 10 talents more. The man that had one talent, he buried it in the ground. And what I mean by that is when people have talents, sometimes we go out and we decide to do what is wrong. We're good entrepreneurs. We know how to run a business because we run a dope business. But because we know how to run a dope business, we're burying that talent that God's given us in the ground. Instead of going out
and that's so true.
We can start a lawn business. We can start clothing, but we can start all kinds of things. Well, we don't have the money. Well, you have to learn how to manage your money so you can't have the money. You need to learn how to maintain your credit so that you don't have bad credit so you can't have the money. So you can walk into a bank. Well, they won't give me all I need. Yeah, but that's not all. They will give you what you need, you know, because you want more than you need sometimes. Or you need to go to someone who can help you work with your finances so you can get to that point. You know, you look at some of the richest basketball players and football players, and they went broke because they had the money, but they didn't know how to manage their finances, or they had somebody manage them for them. One of the things as a consultant that I've always done is never, ever allow the client to just be the client and not understand what I'm teaching or what I'm showing him so that we can go through a year-long process and make sure that the business is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and that person understands that, so we can eventually be obsolete as far as a need for us. You know, most people don't realize that most consultants, CPAs, and all the others, they had to learn that, but what they do is they want you to come back. And so what we're trying to teach people, and just,
I understand.
We're trying to teach people, they don't need to do that. They can do this on their own. They can learn to do it on their own. I've taken people with a little bit of knowledge and to teach them how to do their taxes, because you have all these different tax programs and you can run them online. They used to pay me to do their taxes, and I'd say, well, let me show you how to do it. Well, I don't have the time. Yeah, you do. It's your money. It's your understanding. It's you. You need to go ahead and learn how to do it. That's what is the problem that we have. That's why we take time with financialists. We have 8-week courses. We have 4-week courses. We can come into your church and go and divide it up into 23-minute sections so that people can at least get an understanding and eventually teach the program over an 8-week course, over a 4-week course. You know, it's based upon what the people need and what they really, really want, okay? And so that's why we're involved in it. It's not just financial literacy. It's teaching a person how to be a good father. You know, what does the good father need to do? Maintain for his family. You know?
Hey, Hey, Eric, we got a call on the line here. Hold on here, because I want someone to be able to gleam on what you're sharing here. So just hold on a minute here. We'll see if we bring this caller in. Good morning, caller. Okay. You on the net? Mr. Daniel?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to our program, bro. What a great conversation we're having here with Eric and Dave. They talk about financial literacy and something that we can apply in every phase of our life here. Is there any questions or comments you'd like to propose to these gentlemen regarding what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, basically I want to ask you, about the year, probably year about 2020, what do you expect for the financial stability of the country, what do you suppose it might be?
Well, in my estimation, the financial stability of the country will always be, the United States will always be fine. Okay, we look at it as not fine because of where we are, but there's always plenty of money. It's the situation is, how do you get to the money? How do you deal with the money? Everybody has lots and lots of money out there, Mr. Daniel. Everybody has an opportunity to make even more money. We might say, well, basically we have a problem because of our color, we have a problem because of our economic status, and all those things are true. But to understand how to deal with the program, it's like this. Say you have a football field, and you know there's 10 yards for each first down, right? Or if you have a basket, you have to shoot the basketball, you shoot the ball through the basket, or whatever sport you may be interested in, or however you want to look at that. I use that as an analogy because I'm sports-oriented. And I look at that, and I say, I want to go with 9 yards for the first down. Well, I'm never going to win, am I? You know, I'm always going to be 1 yard short. So in the economy, there's plenty of money in the economy. That's what they're battling over right now. They're battling over how they want to spend the money, not that they don't have the money. They don't want to get any more in debt because they want to get more money for themselves. So that's not the problem. In the 21st century, one of the things we need to start doing is going back to community awareness. And what I mean by that is simple. You have people in the community that take the money out of the community. Instead of being part of the community. You have people that are not willing to invest into entrepreneurship because and just sit around and say, okay, I can't get a job because they won't give me a job. There's only 15,000, if that many, large corporations in the United States, but there are thousands among thousands of small businesses. I can't even remember the number, 100 million, 160,000, somewhere around there. But anyway, I don't remember the number. But the point I'm making is, where the money in this country comes from is small businesses, but we as a group, and especially your ex-felons, they need to understand that most people are not going to hire them. They're not going to get hired. But what they need to do is to use their entrepreneurial spirit, which was also what we teach in entrepreneurial class, so that they know how to begin to raise the money, begin how to function within the society, and take on businesses that they could actually perform and do. You know, it's like a guy says, I want to be a plumber. Well, there's money to be a plumber if you've already been certified as a plumber, and there's also money to become a plumber if you haven't been certified as a plumber. There's all kinds of vo-tech schools and so forth that you can get Pell Grants and money to use to go to school. But at the same time, you can become a journeyman, or excuse me, an apprentice of a journeyman plumber, so you don't have to go to school if you can't qualify for school. But in the meantime, you need to have your mind set on becoming your own businessman. I help buy and sell houses where I am with another company I'm with also called Meadowood Homes. And I look around and there's all kinds of people that own their own little electrical businesses and own their own plumbing business and own their own landscaping businesses and own their own concrete pouring businesses. Yet we're not involved in any of that as I see it. We have some people involved, but not as a good. So we're teaching all that also. We have to teach a lot of concepts. So the economy as a whole is not going to get any better or worse unless we change our way of thinking to make it better. I'm not looking for the handout that's out there. I'm looking to enhance the society or the economic conditions as they are. Does that help what you're asking me? Because I know it changes by us. I'm sorry.
Well, exactly, you know, where I asked the question was awesome. I got a little small town business myself.
Okay.
And the biggest problem I've been having is going in and asking for capital and being in business and long enough in order to go before these banks and asking for a loan. And then they go through geographical areas or your business plan. They want to, you know, address that. And then, you know, most of them say, well, this don't seem like a really good, probable idea for me right now. You know, why don't you try again another 2 or 3 more years when you get, you know, everything more together, you know, with your income tax forms and everything like that. So basically I've been just hanging on, trying to, you know, just deal with the situation. But you know, it's pretty hard, sir. You know, a lot of businesses are really falling under.
Well, it's extremely hard, and one of the things you said is the reason. Because one of the things our people fail for a lack of knowledge. SBA has the SBA Technical Assistance Provider, which is why I am certified as one. And you have to learn how to put a business plan together. You have to learn how to get your hub license so that people can't discriminate against the area in which you work in, because hub has loans for you because of certain topographical areas that are important that they want to have, the government wants to have growth. We just don't know a lot of stuff. That goes back to educating the people so that they can know. And that's what we're about, you know, Our God is Alive. We have a totally different concept of being a ministry. We preach ministry. We preach Christ through what we do and how to help our people as a whole, people that are Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, or whatever, as a whole, to understand what God wants for them to do. You know, we talked about the book God's Purpose, you know, Knowing Our Purpose by God, whatever. I can't remember the title of that book. But the bottom line is, you know, our purpose is to represent God and to represent Christ. And for us to do that, we have to be able to show people what the knowledge and the talents that we have to help other Christians, other people, to be able to attain those things which God has placed in heaven for them. Our company is called Stored in Heaven, one of the other companies that we have. It's a company. It's a for-profit company. And it's set up to attain for you, Mr. Daniels, what you have stored in heaven for you. Sometimes you don't know how to attain those things because it's just what it is. I couldn't do what you do, I'm sure, but I can do what I do. And what happens is that people like myself and other people like me and David and Brother Joel, we have to come together to help people, not just because we want to become prosperous financially, but we want to become prosperous as those who are in Christ, where we can create a fellowship of other people like yourself to be able to show other people like yourself how to become successful and be able to do what God wants them to do in God's kingdom. And so I understand. You know, Joel will give you a number to contact us, because I'll give it at the end. But one of the things is, we're not limited by what we do. We're only enhanced by situations like you have. The more difficult the situation and the more situations we find out, the more other people should be able to help us. And more other people help us, the more we should be able to help you. And that's the concept we have. You know, it's not about, I won't go there, Joe, but, you know, it's not about that, Mr. Daniels. It's about helping all those who call in, all those who need help, and then find other people that are willing to help in the community.
Okay. Oh, that's so true. Hey, David, great. Hey, hold on a minute. We got another call on the line. We're going to try to bring them in because our time is drawing short. This is a powerful conversation. This is a great morning to be listening to a topic like this. Because as we start our day, man, we want to be empowered to do the thing that God allows us to do.
Amen.
Good morning.
Amen.
Caller, you're on the net. Good morning. Mike, you're on the net. Good morning. Okay, then if he's not there yet, I know he wants to get in on this conversation, but he did. Hey, what we're going to do here, we're getting ready to end this program, so we're going to talk to Dave right quick. Dave, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dave, we're getting ready to get out of here, brother. I don't want to leave this here program without giving you a few remarks to close out, because we thank you for calling in, man. We thank you for what you are doing, and we're looking forward to seeing you sometime today after you finish with all your activities, and we'll sit down and we'll break some bread together and give God the glory.
That sounds good. That sounds good. To echo what Eric was saying in terms of being able to help Mr. Daniels. Mr. Daniels, if you would, when they give you that number, make sure you call us so we can further discuss what options may be there for you. But be clear and understand this. Our job, sir, is to start with today. And if I can be grateful for what God has done today, and I am a steward of what God has blessed me with today, then I will be okay should the Lord allow me to see 2020. So I was listening to Eric, but I'm thinking about the mentality. Yeah, it is a struggle. But the truth of the matter is, how do we see God performing and working in our lives today? And am I living a life that is going to be worthy of God blessing me today? I mean, again, we've been doing this for a while. I've been in prison ministry since 96. One of the guys that called me the other day called me crying about the fact that his wife threw a drink on him. And I'm like, why would your wife throw a drink on you? Well, while he was on the phone trying to tell me his story, she was in the background saying, well, tell the preacher how you was dancing with two other women. Now, let me back up, because I know we're on the line talking about financial literacy, but the problem is, if you think you can pay your 10% to God and then live foul with the 90, then you messing up. That's just point blank, and that's for everybody that's listening. And I don't care if you go to church, don't go to church, if you're in prison or not in prison. I mean, if you have the nerve to pay your 10%, the best you can do is try to live right and holy with the 90 so he can continue to bless you with more. And that's one thing that we got to get out there. But anyway, I'm excited about being in this financial literacy thing. Again, got to change the way we value what God has given us and how he uses us in this kingdom building process. So we're trying to recruit more people so that we can get out and cover more places. Again, there's halfway houses, there's senior citizens' homes, there's prisons, there's the county. I mean, there are so many places that God's children have an opportunity to go minister. We need to just really get together and start doing this work. Now, I want to go ahead and put this out there because I know Eric has probably already said it, but we need donations that we might be able to continue to handle handle the literature and being able to handle those who are participating with us in this kingdom building process. That's one thing that we don't do in terms of nonprofits or even as church organizations. We don't think about being a blessing to those that are sacrificing their time to go out and change the lives of people that don't have their last name. And I think we need to start to change that, because God is awesome and God is good, and the funds are out there available, and there are plenty of places for us to go teach. There's plenty of souls that need to be changed, and I believe, and I earnestly believe, that if we start changing the mindset of the guys coming home, they'll go home and change their homes.
Yes, they will. Amen. Hey, Dave, we're gonna end it right there. Thank you very much, brother. It's been powerful, and you enjoy the balance of your day. And I'm gonna be talking to you in a little while. Give me a call later on this evening, and we gonna just break bread from there. But thank
Sounds
you for
good.
Being a guest on the show. And you know, I'm looking forward to having you come back again. You know, and you always
yes, sir.
Welcome. And plus, I'm gonna call you to tap in on our previous conversation, because this thing goes further than just what we're discussing today. We just don't have enough time.
Right, sir.
And we'll let
brother.
All right, thank you, and enjoy your day. Call me later.
Yes, sir.
All right. Eric, before we get out of here, would you care to give us some numbers for Mr. Daniel so he can get in touch with you and the rest of our listening audience? Because this program goes it don't just here in Dallas, man. It's going coast to coast and around the world. So share some information with us that D2 can be empowered by what you are sharing.
Okay, well, one of the numbers is 214-702-6170. I was hoping that Dave will stay on the line, but he has a toll-free number, and I don't have that right now, but we'll get that to everybody. What we also have, OGIA.com, OurGodIsAlive.com, they can look at, and there's numbers on there, and there's opportunities for to contact us and get with us. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with everyone, David. I guess the thing for me is I'm not into being a talker. I'll talk like we did now, but I believe in doing. I believe if people are really interested in helping other people, they'll do what God said, send them out to do, and send them out two by two or how many ever we have to have, and to go out and do what needs to be done. And that's what this is all about for us. It's not about talking. It's not about conversation. It's not about just saying what I'm going to do or what I want to do. It's about going out and taking a chance to do it. I mean, if you fail, you fail. But you'll never know if you're going to fail if you don't ever try. And I don't
think
that's
what I like about you. That's what I like about you in the ministry, brother. Cause ever since I've known you, man, you've been a doer. And it makes me want to do more. It makes me want to apply the gifting that God gives me. Because we know we all have different gifts and talents, man. But as you said, go out and do it. And if you fail, you fail. But guess what? God gets the glory because you learn from your failure. You know, they sang songs, yeah. I fall down, we get up. But do you really believe that? Can you really receive that? Say, man, give us that number one more time here. We're going to get you off the air. And thank you very much.
No problem. Steph, it's called, the number is 214-702-6170. And also you can go to Our God is Alive. It's OGIA.com. Our God is Alive. And you'll be able to find numbers and information about us and more so. Okay?
Amen. Eric, thank you very much, bro. You know we're going to get you on here again. And thank you for your time. And, man, enjoy the balance of your day with your family. And we'll be talking shortly. And hopefully we're all able to get together sometime today and just sit down and continue, the business that our Father have put to our hands to do.
Amen. I just want to wish everybody a happy Easter or Resurrection Day, as some people say. But let us remember why we're doing the things we're doing. Because even in financial literacy, or however you want to say it, we are looking at the kingdom of heaven, the returning of Christ, and the ability to be our Father later after that. So that's what this is all about.
That's what it's all about. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day, and we'll be talking later. Amen.
God bless
what
you.
A great interview that we had with Eric. What a great interview. Amen. I love talking with Eric. Eric got so much information going on. And then Brother Daniel asked some very poignant questions. Brother Daniel.
Yes, Big Lewis, how you doing today? I didn't get to talk.
Oh, man, we're doing good. I know, man. Thank you for holding on. We got a couple other callers that's on the line there, but they don't have anything to say. But I thank them for listening. I pray that what we shared today, man, could make a difference in someone's life. You know, our slogan said, help change a life. And how much more can we help change a life if we can change our own life?
Amen. Amen. That's the key of changing lives. Don't let a life stay the same.
Yeah, and you know, Rick, there's so much information. There's so many ministry and opportunity available, but if we don't know about them, we should be across the street or something be going on. So I didn't know that was across the street. I didn't know that was around the corner. We have to be exposed to these things, and then not only exposed, but we have to be able to share with other people.
That's true.
And you know what? You asked a question, man, that is relevant to everybody. I got this business. I want to know how to apply, but where I go, people keep putting hurdles and keep putting mandates on me. How can I get over this, or what can I do? And I thank you, man, for bringing that phone call. Guess what? You ain't the only one that's going through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's like a big mountain you're climbing sometimes, you know. You don't want to fail, and you don't want to give up. But then again, you got to keep on, you know.
We have a call on the line right here. Let's get this caller right quick here, man. I want everybody to get in on this. All right. Hold on just a second. Good morning, caller. You on the net? Michael Flemings, good morning. You on the net? Okay. I guess he just wanted to listen. That's great. Now, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
Now you heard this. You think you could be able to apply some of the things that you heard today? Because we just don't want to be heroes of the world. We want to be doers. You know what the scriptures say, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to apply it. Yeah, but you know, like any other habit, it has to be worked out. You know, a lot of bad habits you got to break.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about how the youngsters, man, they get money and they just go out and just don't want to save money for the next year. They just spend anything they got and won't put nothing back. You know, and that seems to be a big thing for the, you know, our race of people, that we just want to have big things up front and don't worry about the future.
Yeah, and that is so true. Now, Ms. Dang, I know that you write a little bit and you have poetry that you share with us from time to time. We want to be able to continue that maybe on our next week program, because I know the poetry that you share, man, it's heart-wrenching, man. Even though you may not write some of it, but you share it with us, but it's something that's needed at that time. And so
yeah,
I want you to continue that.
A long, about 3 or 4 weeks now. But you can look forward to the future. I'll have some. I might try to pin a little bit of myself.
Okay. And I want to make mention that tomorrow, the street ministry, which I'm a part of, and all those that want to be a part of can be a part, we're going to be presenting a Thanksgiving dinner to our brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, not Thanksgiving, the Easter dinner. I keep saying Thanksgiving. But it's really a Thanksgiving anyway. But it's an Easter dinner that we're going to put together tomorrow, which will be Easter. And it's over in the South Dallas area off of 175 in Metropolitan. And so we'll be over there sharing with our brothers and sisters what thus says the Lord, encouraging them to be all they could be in Christ Jesus, encouraging them that God expect great things out of them. So I ask you to pray for us, and if you have an opportunity, support that ministry sometime. Not necessarily just tomorrow, but just any time that God lays on your heart. We over there every Sunday from 2 to 5, and as the weather's getting better, we'll have more participation. So I encourage you to come over. Matter of fact, you've been over there before.
What's the name of the minister over there?
The ministry is the Bread of Life Street Ministry.
Under what minister?
Minister Raul, Minister Sam,
Minister Raul,
and myself.
Raul,
Sam, and Joel. We're the three pillars of that ministry over there. And plus anyone else that'd like to come by.
Yeah. I met Brother Sam one day, too.
Yeah, we got Brother Sam. He's good. Great.
Yes,
he's good. Yeah, he's great in the ministry, brother. He's our driver. He goes out and pick up the residents and bring them over. It's a nice facility.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hey, Brother Dad, we're about ready to get out of here, brother. Would you like to close us out in a word of prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the advice that you gave us to these men from God to help and teach and instruct the people and help them enrich their lives and everyday struggles they're having in life. Heavenly Father, we hope that they have taken away at least a morsel of understanding and education in order to enrich their lives and help their families and help the country and help this world. Help us, Lord. Help us understand that we can't do it by ourselves. Only through you can we achieve the greatness that God has for us. In the name of our Heavenly Father, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. Until we meet again on this here program, we pray that things go well for you. And remember now, help change your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Stay free on the inside.
Yeah, free on the inside. Amen. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.